So we want to thank you folks for your faithful support of our ministry for 15 years. And so we went to language school in 2000, and I believe you folks must have been supporting us right before then. And so you've been with us since we were learning the language to go to Peru, and you supported us through our 14 years that we're actually living in Peru. And so we want to just thank y'all for that faithful support. And we hear from some of you all, and it's just a blessing to know that you folks are praying. I always forget to do this, I brought up one of our prayer cards. If you did not get one, please grab one. They're on the back table, and we have some more under the table if we need to put some more out there. Grab one of these, take all of them. I just get them printed at Walgreens or Walmart, so I can get as many as I need. So you make sure you take all those if you'd like. And I try to put some information on there, but I'm not the biggest fan of Facebook in the world. But unfortunately, in the world we live in today, so many people like to keep in touch with us with Facebook. When Debbie got sick, and I'll tell you about that in just a minute, I put that on Facebook. I didn't even know what else to do. I came home from the hospital to check on my girls. I put it on Facebook, and then within 24 hours, over 28,000 people had seen that and had been praying. We heard from all over the world. And so let's make something that's evil, maybe Facebook, make it into something good. And so if you use Facebook, tonight when you go home, go on there, facebook.com/pofolks. It's on our prayer card. Click like on that, and we would love to let to know that you're praying for us. We put our prayer letters on there. We send them by email as well. But that's just a good way to get our prayer requests and updates and see photos of what we're up to and the different things. And so I will try to remind you to do that. Also, there's a younger missionary couple. They said they have more likes on Facebook than we old people do. And so you know, get everybody you know to click like on that so I can beat that young whippersnapper missionary. And so it is great to be back with you tonight. And I will tell you, Pastor made a big mistake, a church without a clock on the walls to a missionary that's been in Latin America where time doesn't matter. And so I have a clock up here, though. But I will tell you, I've been accused sometimes of talking too fast. And so I've had people say, "Wow, you sound like an auctioneer. I have never heard somebody talk so fast in my life." So I always tell them, well, I get an hour message into 20 minutes, and then so you still get home on time. So we got a lot to talk about tonight, because I'd like to kind of tell you, give you an update on what was going on in our life in Peru and the ministries that God gave us there and allowed us to be a part of. Then kind of like to tell you briefly what happened with Debbie that brought us back to the States a little bit earlier than we anticipated, and why we need to make a change in our ministry. And kind of a direction of that, I got a real quick video that we'll show you in a few minutes to let you kind of see part of the new ministry we're going to be doing. And then, of course, the best part tonight, we have a message that I think will be a challenge for us as we consider missions and exactly what makes a good missions-minded church. So we want to do a lot of that tonight. So if you listen fast, I'll talk fast, and despite not having a clock on the wall, we'll make sure we don't stay all night. As you know, we were missionaries in Peru for 14 years. And during that time, God allowed us to do a lot of things. We will always love Peru. Peru is like home to us. I have a 14-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old daughter, and so Peru is definitely like home to them. They spent their entire life there except little short visits on furloughs to the States. And so we loved Peru. We actually bought a home in Peru. We bought an apartment in Peru, and we had planned to stay there the rest of our lives. And so during our first term in Peru, we were able to help start the Iglesia Bautista La Fe, which just means Faith Baptist Church, in a section of Lima called Atebitarte. Now, Lima is a huge city. It has about 10 million people. So I like to think when you folks around here live close to Raleigh, you understand about traffic. Well, I can tell you that Lima is such a huge city that it makes Raleigh traffic look like a walk in the park. And so the city of Lima has 280,000 taxi cabs, 280,000 taxi cabs. New York City only has 13,000, if that puts it into perspective for you. So there's taxis, and there's buses, and there's traffic, and there's people everywhere. And so it would get frustrating sometimes, but we looked at that, and all that traffic, and all those people, and all those buses and everything, as opportunities. And God gave us a lot of opportunities. And so we helped start the Iglesia Bautista La Fe. God blessed that church. It grew tremendously. It now has its own national pastor. They have beautiful facilities with lots of room to grow. They've recently started a Bible Institute in their church. It's so sort of like what you folks do here. So it's really, really exciting. The pastor is a dear friend, and he told me he was starting the Bible Institute. And he said, "I hope we have a good turnout." And they had like 30 people come the very first night, and those 30 people have stuck with it and are really learning God's word. So that's been very, very exciting. Then, as we went back to Peru after our first term, we helped start a church called the Misión Bautista, which just means the Baptist Mission, in a little neighborhood called Viña Alta. We actually worked for two terms there. God did some tremendous things. We saw lots of people saved. We saw lots of lives transformed. As a matter of fact, we went into the public schools, and some of the teachers, they began to see the lives of the students that were changing as a result of the gospel. We had parents come to us, and they said, I'll never forget, one mom came and she said, I don't know what you're doing to our sons. And I thought, uh-oh. And she said, but keep it up. They're respectful. For the first time, they're doing chores voluntarily. Their grades are improving. And they said, keep it up. And then those young men today are still in the service of the Lord. They're doing great things for the Lord. One of them is planning to work full-time in ministry. The other one is working full-time in ministry, he says, as a policeman in Peru. And so just pray for those young men. But God did some great things there in Viña Alta. And so we were in that ministry. We had really, really tried to leave a church planted there in that little neighborhood. But basically, after months and months that changed into years of trying to find property to buy, there was literally nothing to buy there. And the place that we rented was no longer available. And so it was very, very sad. We had to move out of that area. And we were working. We were investigating a new place to start our church or to transfer that church and to continue ministering there. And that's what happened. It was June 15th of 2014. We had a Bible study in our home with some of those believers, a good group of people. It was actually Father's Day, and Debbie was doing great. She was feeling fine. I'll never forget. It was a hot night, and the windows were open, and we lived on the top floor of an apartment building. And as I was coming in from picking up some people, I can remember Debbie laughing. She was laughing real loud with some of those ladies, and she was feeling fine. And they finished up the Bible study about 9:30. We finished up, and I took some of those folks home, and when I was coming in, Debbie said, I feel kind of nauseous. She said, I don't know what I ate. I feel kind of nauseous. To make a long story short, by 11:30, she was being transferred to the hospital by ambulance. She got to the hospital, was immediately put into intensive care unit, and they told me shortly after that that they would give her a 30% chance of surviving the night. So here was Debbie doing very well at 9:30. At 11:30, her life was in jeopardy. I won't go into all the gory details, but Debbie lost a tremendous amount of blood. She began to vomit blood. And they began to test and look for things, and they found out that she has cirrhosis of the liver. Now, I know what you're thinking. What kind of missionary have we been supporting? Debbie's never had a drop of alcohol in her life. As a matter of fact, her folks helped start a couple of rescue missions to help people that struggled with that. And so Debbie would never have alcohol. So that's the leading cause of it. She did not have hepatitis, which is another thing that most causes that a lot of times. Debbie just has a metabolic problem that went undetected. She didn't know she had it, and her liver got so damaged that it began to cause other problems, and I won't go into all those details, but she almost bled to death. So right there in the hospital, when they stabilized her, she's in intensive care for almost 5 days, and they told her, they said, the doctor said, we're doing our best for you, but you need to get back to the States as soon as possible. You've got to get back to the States. We do not have the care here to take care of you. And so the doctor began telling us, when you get back, you're going to have a liver transplant. But a liver transplant, said, is there any way to avoid this? And she said, I don't know. It was a lady doctor. She said, I don't know. So we came back to the States. It took 5 weeks for Debbie to gain enough strength to be safe to be on the plane. And God works in miraculous ways. Here it is. The doctors told us, we can't give you clearance until the day that you travel. So you'll come by the hospital for one more final set of tests. If you're okay, we'll fly. You can leave that night. But do you know how hard it is to buy international airline tickets when you buy them the same day? Or if you buy them changeable, they're extremely, extremely expensive. By this time, it was into the month of July, which is one of the peak seasons for travel to and from Peru. The tickets were outrageously expensive. And so without going into all those details, the Lord worked it out. We had a type of insurance with our health insurance that we didn't even know we had, medical evacuation insurance. And so they flew my entire family out of Peru, cost us zero, in first class, and we arrived back in the States safely. One bad thing about that, I'll never be content again in coach. But anyway, we were able to fly back to the States. God got us here. We were picked up on July 21st, came right back to Lexington, North Carolina, where our home church is. And Debbie, the people said, now you're going to take months to be able to get in to see a specialist. We flew in on July 21st. Debbie saw a specialist on July 22nd. Wow. And so got right into the hospital, has had very good care. In the last year and a half, a little bit over a year, Debbie had to have 13 endoscopic procedures where they put the little scope down your throat, and they actually had to do some work down in her esophagus that was causing the bleeding, so she's had to have those just about every month. And not long ago, Debbie had one, and they said that things were going well, and she could skip for a year. So that was a real blessing for her. And Debbie's a real trooper. In Peru, she had four endoscopies, four of them, without anesthesia. They wouldn't do it there. They said she was too fragile. And so she went through a lot and made it back to the States. So we're just feel blessed. In the last several months, her health has actually been very, very stable. As a result of the problems with her liver that affected her pancreas and spleen, which then caused her to have diabetes for the first time in her life. She went to the doctor and made some radical changes in diet and watches what she eats, takes one simple little pill, and her diabetes has been totally under control. It basically doesn't even seem to be there anymore. And her liver disease is not really progressing. And so the doctor, the first time we saw him, when we first came back, he said, well, I expect that you would have to have a liver transplant in 3 to 5 years. And so this last time when we saw him in January, he said, well, I don't expect that you would have to have a liver transplant for 8 to 10 years. And so the Lord knows those things, and she's getting the good care that she needs here. Well, last February, we had been praying for months and months and months earnestly about whether we could return to Peru. What would we do? What's the Lord's will for us? And it became very clear that God just wasn't opening the door for us to return to Peru. The health screenings that she needs and the health things she needs are just not available in Peru. So it was, I would almost say, with broken hearts, we made the decision we would not be returning to Peru. It was very, very hard, especially for our girls. That was home for them, hope for all of us. And so we began to pray, Lord, what do you want us to do? And we had churches in 8 or 10 states call us and say, please help us. We need Hispanic ministries, Latin American people in our community that we want to help reach. We were contacted by different mission agencies. We were contacted by different ministries. And one of them was EBI, which is Editorial Bautista Independiente, which is Baptist Mid-Missions. It's our same mission that we've been with. It's their Spanish theological training and literature ministry. And so we have used their materials for years down in Peru. We met a lady at the back before church that was a missionary in Chile. And I'm sorry, I forgot her name, but she was telling us that they used EBI materials during their time in Peru. And so the amount of literature and the amount of resources and things have just really grown with that ministry. And they desperately need help. And so last February, we considered taking a trip. We went down to Sebring, Florida, where they're headquartered, to visit, to talk about the ministry. On the way down there, I told Debbie, I said, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say there's about a 10% chance that we'll end up in this ministry. I said, I just don't think that's what the Lord wants us to do. We got there. We only stayed for 3 days. And we sat down. The very first day we got there, I sat down in the director's office, and he hands me a file folder. I open it up, and it says job description, John Poe, and it's pages and pages of stuff. And he says, this is what we want you to do. And he said, we've already talked to your coworkers in Peru, and they told us your strong points, and they told us where you would fit in best in this ministry. So we've planned this, and it's a perfect fit for what we need. And so we talked about every aspect of the ministry. It was also brought to our attention that the average staff member for EBI is 71 years old. And so, you know, people can work many, many, many years after that, but they said we desperately need some younger people to come here. They said if we can recruit a young couple, we think we can recruit some other young couples that we desperately need. And so we prayed about it, and as we were driving home, I told Debbie, I said, I really think that's what the Lord is leading us to do. I said, wow, never tell God never. And so we continued to pray, and after several months talking with pastors, talking with our home pastor, and as a family praying about it, we said we had a real peace that that's what the Lord wanted us to do. And so we began to make plans, and that's where we're going to be headed, to work with EBI. Now, you know, it's hard not to go back to Peru. That's home for us, and that's just where we plan to be for the rest of our lives. We have to make one more trip down there. I'm sure we'll go in the days ahead, but we have to go. We're probably going to go this in the month of March, and settle up things there and sign some paperwork that we need to do. And that's going to be a very, very tough trip. It's going to be hard to leave. Every other time we've left for furloughs, it's been hard, but we knew we were coming back. And so it's going to be a hard trip. But we're excited about what God's going to do. God gave us a ministry for 14 years to reach one country, Peru, And now he's given us a ministry to reach 29 countries all over Central and South America. And so we will be able to go because of Debbie's health. She will be able to travel without having to stay permanently overseas. We'll be based out of Sebring, Florida. And we will go and be able to teach teacher training courses, teach modules at seminaries and Bible institutes, help to show people how to use the material that EBI has to offer. Just to give you an idea, we had a young man in our church in Peru named Jonathan. I should back up and say his sister Nogith was in our church first. She got saved, her and her husband, and all their children were saved under the ministry of our church. And Nogith's brother was over in the jungle of Peru, way over on the other side. It takes 2 days to come by bus through all these windy roads down through the mountains to get to Lima. Nogith's brother was a Christian. He was in a good-sized church over in a village over in the jungle of Peru near the Amazon River. They were communicating, believe it or not, by internet, Skyping and talking with each other in the deep, darkest Peru. They have the internet over there. And so they were talking back and forth. And Jonathan was telling her, he said, man, I'm learning, I'm growing in my walk with the Lord, and I had some questions for my pastor. He went to his pastor, and his pastor said, Jonathan, I can't answer your questions. He said, I'm just a lay worker. I never had any formal training. I do the very best I can, and I wish I could answer your questions, but I just don't know. Let's study this together. And they studied together. And then several weeks later, Jonathan had more questions, and the pastor couldn't answer it. They went to another pastor in a nearby village, and he said the same thing. Boy, I'm excited that you want to know, but I don't know how to answer that question either. These pastors are doing the best they can, but they don't have any training. They didn't know the Bible well enough to answer some difficult questions. So Jonathan's sister said, you know what? There's a missionary couple in our church. There's a national pastor in our church. Why don't you come to Lima and see if they can answer your questions for you? And so Jonathan showed up at our church one Sunday. He had a letter. This sounds like something you'd see in the book of Acts. He showed up at the church with a letter from his church. They had commissioned him. They laid hands on him and sent him to Lima to learn how to answer those questions so he could come back and teach his own pastor and teach those other pastors in those communities. Jonathan was like a kid in a candy shop. He absorbed information. If you gave him a book, he read it. He loved it. I'll never forget when we were leaving Peru, we had all this material, of course. We knew that we were going to be gone for at least a year. Here's this young man wanting to use it. Brought him into a little room. We had a little storage room in our apartment. Said, Jonathan, what do you want? What kind of stuff would you like? And he said, boy, I really like this book. I said, take it. I really like this book. I said, take it. Well, the next thing you know, I said, you know what, Jonathan? I can't leave you. I can't leave this stuff sitting here for a year getting dusty. Take it all. We started boxing it up. He has tears in his eyes. I never dreamed I would have this kind of stuff. And so he just loved it. Well, Jonathan is now studying at seminary, and he's learning, and his plan is to go back to the jungles and to teach in that church there. And that's the kind of thing that EBI is going to do. We help to train national pastors. We train workers to go out. In Peru, we're really blessed that there are a lot of churches, not nearly enough, but there are some good churches, and the pastors just need a little bit of help. There's areas that need new missionaries, and there's national workers willing to be missionaries, but they just don't have the materials and the training that they need. And so EBI works to help train nationals and to help get the materials they need for churches. We have materials that start everywhere from discipleship materials for a young believer, for somebody that's just trusted Christ, all the way up to materials that could be used on the professor's level in a Bible college or a Bible institute or seminary. And we're really excited that we just had our first class this past May graduated with a online master's program for young men that have studied and are now able to be able to teach as professors in seminaries all over Latin America. By the way, Jonathan, when I started talking about his church, I said, Jonathan, how many, you know, I'm picturing this little small church in the jungle. I said, Jonathan, how many people are in your church? He said, oh, about 400. I said, 400? I said, how many people are in your village? He said, about 400. And so I said, what, you mean the whole church, the whole village comes to church? He said, oh, yeah, the little stores, everybody closes, and the only people that don't come in are the drunks, and they sit out on the grass in front. So here you have this repeated time and time again in the jungles of Peru. These people just need a little help, and the Lord is at work. People are getting saved. And could you imagine saying a whole city goes to church? Boy, what a blessing. And so we're looking forward to seeing Jonathan go back and to teach his pastor and to teach other pastors. Lima's a lot better environment to live than those jungles of Peru. And Jonathan kept telling me, I hate it here. I don't see how you people live with all this traffic and all this pollution and all this noise. And he I got to get back, but I got to study first. And so pray for Jonathan and pray for that ministry. That just kind of gives you an idea of what EBI is going to be doing and is doing all over the world. Now, I've got a video. It takes about 5 minutes, and we're going to take a look at that if they're ready for me. And that'll let you see a little bit about, in a visual way, what EBI does.
One, then another, then another. The pattern has repeated itself over hundreds of thousands of times through the past 50 plus years. The gospel of Christ has powerfully been preached in Central and South America so that today there are between 40 and 50 million believers. Presently, there are over 9,000 Baptist congregations in the region. Many of these are found in urban areas. Lima, Peru, and Monterrey, Mexico, for example, are both projected in the near future to have more than 1,000 churches each. While reaching souls is certainly a point for celebration, there is also an alarming trend that threatens the health and the continued growth of the Spanish church: a lack of doctrinally sound printed materials for pastors and ministries.
Una iglesia local necesita de varones. Y varones que están creciendo en la palabra de Dios. Si los varones no crecen en la palabra de Dios, la iglesia va a ser débil.
In North America, quality resources on doctrine, Christian living, and ministries of the local church are readily available. However, this is not so in Latin America, and those resources that do exist are often written from a context that does not fit their culture. Even worse, they often communicate inaccurate teaching on the Holy Spirit that could lead misinformed church leaders down the wrong path. Editorial Bautista Independiente, the Spanish literature ministry of Baptist Mid-Missions, is strategically placed to accept this challenge by leveraging the experience of veteran missionaries and national pastors with modern technology and delivery methods. The result is an innovative ministry that blends literature development with Spanish culture, modern printing methods, and an efficient distribution system so that doctrinally sound, quality materials are available to Hispanic pastors and church leaders.
Bueno, una cosa que nos ayuda del material de la EBI es la aplicación para el pueblo latinoamericano, ¿no? Para las necesidades de nosotros. Tenemos diferentes necesidades por pertenecer a diferentes culturas. Y gracias a Dios por eso.
Wow, era muy lindo el material, muy lindo. Me explicaron ahí, ¿verdad? Y yo lo entendí. Y eso plasmé a los niños.
It is our passion. It is our mission to encourage servant leaders to learn, to direct, and to teach their congregations confidently, not swayed by every wind of false doctrine. The Great Commission is about more than evangelism. It requires discipleship. The making of disciples so that they can grow in their faith and in their service.
Our strategy involves partnerships on multiple levels. First of all, we are seeking individuals from a variety of professional disciplines who will commit to serving as vocational missionaries here in our ministry office, located in Sebring, Florida, and throughout Latin America.
It's exciting to be able to work on the mission field while I'm actually creating and developing material. The advantage is that I get to see how it works there on the field and get feedback before we actually roll it out to the general population. So we'll know how it actually is received and how effective it is.
Es muy interesante y también a la vez muy completo. Me gusta sobre todo el contenido que tiene y la sana doctrina que también creo que es lo básico para una iglesia.
Beyond going, we also need individuals and local churches who will partner with us through prayer and financial support to meet the growing needs of the EBI ministry and the national church. One opportunity involves the donation of funds toward the purchase of a pastor's library for needy Hispanic pastors.
Gracias, EBI, porque a través de ustedes Dios ha podido hacer realidad nuestras peticiones.
Gracias, EBI.
Que el Señor lo bendiga, Evi. Gracias.
Gracias, Evi.
Finally, while we realize that not everyone can work as missionaries, we need volunteers who are interested in leveraging their talents to aid in short-term projects that arise throughout the year. You may have web design, graphics, page layout, or marketing skills. Perhaps you are fluent in Spanish and could serve through translation or document editing. Or you may be able to donate time to help with the assembly of materials at the office in Sebring. We're focused on strategically placing ourselves in a new and innovative era of missions, and we want you to participate with us. Visit us at ebi-bmm.org to learn more.
So I hope that was helped you just visualize a little bit about the ministries of EBI and kind of see from a media standpoint some of the things that we've been able to do as a mission, and encourage you to look into that more if you're interested. We really appreciate your prayers. Now in the coming days, we have a whole lot to do. I was just down in Florida a couple of weeks ago, and I'm actually headed back to Florida on this Tuesday morning. To try to get things ready for my girls to be enrolled in school and to find housing there and that type of thing. And so pray for me that I'll have a good trip down there. Then we'll be headed back to Peru, Lord willing, around Easter time. And then we need to be down in Florida soon after that to begin working. So we just ask that you uphold us in your prayers.